What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Planeswalkers Anonymous, the only magic podcast that comes in barbecue, cheddar, and buffalo. I'm your host, Duncan Day, and I'm joined this week, as every week, by my brother, Donovan. Donovan, what's your favorite podcast flavor?
I've heard of buffalo and cheddar, but there's a city called barbecue?
Probably.
Oh, neat. Glad that we have listeners there.
I know about buffalo, and I think I have heard of cheddar, too, but it would not have occurred to me that that was a city if you hadn't mentioned.
I'm not sure it is.
That sounds right. I think I've heard that before.
It sounded right, and I made the joke. But
all right. So what's up?
Fully prepared for listeners to come back and be like, hey, there's no such place as cheddar. Donovan's an idiot.
I bet somewhere in the world there's a city called barbecue also. what's been going on, Domin? What have you been up to?
Nothing, actually. Played some standard.
Did you do some of that standard magic at Boardwalk?
No, I went to a friend's house.
Oh. I mean, well, that's cool, too.
I'm working during all standard events at Boardwalk.
But Boardwalk is a cool place to go to play standard.
And now draft. We started doing draft on Tuesday.
Oh, cool. I might have to come up there for that. Set on Tuesday?
Yep.
Oh, no. Well, maybe sometime what we'll have to do is, like, do an episode that's, like, just a recording of us playing a draft at Boardwalk, and I'll see if that is possible to edit into something someone will want to hear.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
I think that would actually be doable, because, like, if nothing else, we could talk in between rounds about, like, our deck or whatever. It might actually be something that was possible to make work. Have to probably be a lot of editing work, though. Anyway, at the top of the show, we like to mention Boardwalk, and, you know, you can go up there, play events, you can do draft on Tuesday, apparently. You can also go to Boardwalk to get magic singles, magic not singles, magic couples and throuples. You can get board games.
Get a whole playset.
Yeah, a whole playset of whatever you're into. No unicorns, though.
No, we have those.
Oh, okay. And if you can't make it to Boardwalk here in North Dallas to participate in one of Donovan's events, you can always go to boardwalk-games.com and check out all of Donovan's inventory online there. You can get cards shipped to you through the interweb. I guess they don't
ship to the internet. That would be weird. I mean, it wouldn't be weird if we were selling digital products.
Johnny Mnemonic.
There we go.
And, you know, if you are breaking out that laptop, your MacBook,
I guess MacBooks probably can play Arena now that you have the iPhone app, right? Like,
I mean, that seems likely. I was trying to make my way over to Patreon, though.
Oh, okay. I was trying to think, like, why somebody would be using a MacBook for magic stuff.
Definitely hit up Arena, but while you're there at your computer, patreon.com/planeswalkers is where you can go to support the show and join our giveaways. It's basically like the main thing we offer on our Patreon. There's like some other stuff in the different reward tiers, but main thing is if you're on Patreon at any level, you get entered in all of our giveaways, because we actually do a bunch of giveaways. Main thing we give away is we open up some cards every episode and give them away at the end of the month. So Donovan,
yeah,
are you ready to open a pack?
No, but I'm ready for you to open one.
All right. So Boardwalk and Donovan have kindly provided us with an Innistrad Crimson Vow Collector's Booster for this week. This is going to be a really good giveaway this month, I think, because we've already got two boosters that we've opened up. One of those was a collector's booster, so we got two collector's boosters this month. We're going to start with a double-sided token. It's a human boar.
A human boar?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like me.
And like I've done in the past with these collector's boosters, they're primarily foil cards, so these are all foil up to the point where I tell you that they're not anymore. So we got a Reckless Impulse.
Cool.
A Sheltering Boughs.
Uh-huh.
Gift of Fangs.
Yep.
Weaver of Blossoms / Blossom Clad Werewolf.
Oh, now I know what card you're talking
about. A Runebound Wolf.
Yep.
Wolf. A Lunar Reflection.
Cool.
Rejection.
Better.
dropping cards. Then we've got a foil Endless Night Swamp.
Swamp!
And a foil Shattered Sanctum.
Oh, cool.
So are these dual lands guaranteed in the collector boosters?
No.
Huh. So we got a dual one of those duels in the last one too.
Yes.
All right. These next few are non foils, but they're all like special cards. We've got a extended art Timon Youthful Geist.
Alrighty. Where's the Pumbaa?
Timon, not Timon.
Oh, my bad.
And we've got an extended art Ascendant Pack Leader.
Oh, that's a good card.
Nice. And we've got a Showcase Unholy Efficient.
How efficient?
It's pretty efficient. And we've got a Full Art Quincy Harker. That's the Dracula series copy of Reclusive Taxidermist.
Yeah, it's one of the better selling ones at Boardwalk.
Nice.
Probably largely because it's like 80 cents. But... Oh,
less nice, but still kind of nice. And we've got a Showcase Olivia's Attendance.
Mm-hmm.
Is this one, is this the Dracula series one for, like, Dracula's wives?
No. Oh. Wait. Yes. One of them.
Okay. I just...
There's a couple that are Dracula's wives.
Okay. I just know saying it's three lady
vampires. The expensive one is... Yeah. But the expensive one's the one that's Olivia Crimson Bride.
Okay.
But there's also the Olivia's Attendance. So.
Then we've got a foil Showcase Belligerent Guest.
Neat.
And a foil extended art Headless Rider.
Neat.
Yeah, the artwork on this Headless Rider is fantastic. I like that. So did we get anything exciting, Donovan?
I think the Headless Rider and the Ascendant Pack Leader are both cards that see a lot of play in Standard right now.
Nice. We got some...
And then the Shattered Sanctum, too.
So. Sure. And we got some fancy versions of all of those cards. These are going to be the things that we're giving away at the end of January. So I'm going to set them aside. Now, I also, when I was picking up that pack to open up, there's this pack of Forgotten Realms on my desk that I keep thinking belongs in that stack of stuff that we're going to give away at the end of January. And I keep getting it confused. So I'm just going to toss it in there.
Okay.
Should I put it in sealed, or should we go ahead and open it up?
I don't care.
All right, here we go. I'm not going to go through every card. We're going to take a look at the rare. Open back. Add a Great Axe, Thieves' Duel, Bar the Gate, Brazen Door, Shambling Gas, Scaled Herbalist, Gloomstalker, Minimus Containment, Bullet. Oh, hey, we got a Showcase Genie Windseer. You Meet in a Tavern, Guilty, 50 Feet of Rope. We got a Wish.
Oh, neat.
So yeah, a Wish and a Showcase gin. Alright, that's all of our upkeep step, Donovan. You ready to go into the main phase?
Yes.
Cool, because this week we are...
Who cares about drawing cards?
Well, I mean, what would that mean on the show?
I don't know, but...
I guess untap. It's gotta be the intro, right? I'm not sure.
No, that's you sitting silent.
Okay. Well, that sounds more like an upkeep, but like...
No, you're getting ready for the turn.
Okay. Untap, then upkeep is where I talk about all the BS that we have to talk about at the beginning of every show.
Yeah, we draw cards as whenever we open packs and draw cards out.
Okay, and we drew some cards already. Main phase.
Correct.
Pre-combat main phase. Combat. Yes. That's going to be the interesting step. That's our feedback section, right?
Yes, I am very combative.
So, this week, for some reason... I decided that we really needed to talk about Pauper.
Acceptable. I like Pauper.
So you're familiar with the Pauper format?
Yes.
Can you tell me and any of our listeners who aren't already aware, like, just a basic rundown of what Pauper is, what the special rules are?
The special rules are that you can only play cards that are commons.
Okay. So it's an eternal format, right?
Or print it at common at some point,
I guess. Oh, okay. So that actually was a question I had, is like, it doesn't matter if it was originally printed at common or most recently printed at common. If it was ever a common, it's legal in Pauper.
Correct.
Okay. Whew. There are a few that probably shouldn't be there.
Yes. And they have been banned.
So Pauper has a ban list.
Correct.
All right. So it is like an official supported format?
Yeah. It started being supported like 3 years ago.
So could you...
And before that, I guess it was supported, but they just didn't ever do anything to support it. Like, they said it was a supported format, but they didn't.
Sure. And I'm aware that you don't do this at Boardwalk, but, like, you could run FNM as a popper event, right?
So, yes.
Okay. And
FNM has some restrictions on which formats you can play it.
All right.
So I think popper is one of the ones that's allowed now, as of 3 years ago.
But basically, popper is very simple. It's just commons. Anything that was a common and isn't banned from the history of Magic, you can use to build your deck. And then it's just a 60-card constructed format, right?
Yes.
So, cool. And, I'm trying to think. I guess there's not really anything else we need to know about Popper before we jump into the actual news?
Correct.
Alright, so the reason why I'm bringing up Popper this week, I think we've mentioned it before in passing. I've kind of joked about it, as if it's a second-class format, I think, because it is. No, because it, you know, is not one of the most popular formats. But there was some exciting news this week for Popper, and Gavin Verhey filled us in on what's going on over at the Mothership, and so I thought that probably Popper would be on people's radar this week, and we had an opportunity to do like a news episode, so I thought, well, we should maybe talk about some Popper. Donovan, tell me what the news is. Fill me in.
Well, they decided that they wanted, I don't know why they decided this, but they decided they wanted to make a rules council for Popper.
Popper Rules Committee.
So they made the Popper Format Panel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a group of people to be the dark underbelly crime lords of Popper.
So if I understand correctly, the idea here is that people who play Popper have been unsatisfied with how quickly issues in Popper get addressed.
Yeah, I think what they really wanted was a official advocate for the Popper format that Wizards might actually listen to.
Okay.
And so that's what their goal was. Sure. I just think it's funny because it seems so much like the Rules Council for Commander that is just an awful governing body that should not exist because they make Commander worse. But
oh man, I don't want to run off on a tangent where we end up just talking about the Commander Rules Committee for this podcast, like we're doing.
I just think it's silly for them to use that as their model. But
do you think you can fairly succinctly tell us, like, what your issue with the Rules Committee is in Commander?
They don't care about the format being healthy. They just want to have fun themselves. So
you feel like
they make bannings based on what they think is fun, not on what.
Yeah, I will.
General Magic players like.
Okay, so like, I think I agree with you. My hesitancy is mostly based on the fact that I don't think I have the familiarity with like the format and people playing it to be aware of, like, what the players actually want, so it's hard for me to judge. But it does seem like, whenever I hear news coming from the Rules Committee, that they use language like, we didn't think this was fun. A lot. Which is like, yeah. That doesn't seem like a good reason to make decisions to me. Well, on the one hand, I mean, like, it actually is a great reason. Like, you want the game to be fun, you know? But on the other hand, say, like, well, I didn't think this was fun. I lost when this happened. It's like,
that does appear to be the main reason for banning cards.
Yeah.
It makes their commander decks worse. They don't like it.
Right. So,
I don't think it's really a problem.
Right.
The Popper people are going to be beholden to Wizards rather than the other way around, like it is for the Commander Rules Council. Like, I don't think they're going to get to rule with an iron fist and warp the format to their wants like Commander, so I think it's fine. I just think it's funny that, like, they're using this really awful system as their model. And they're like, hey,
yeah,
let's do that, just because Commander's popular.
Also, since Popper doesn't really have any unique rules, it's just which sets of cards are included, basically. I say sets, I don't mean, like, sets. Like, Standard has sets that are legal, right? I just mean, like,
yeah.
There is a group of cards that are legal or not legal, right? And that's, as far as I understand, like, that's the only thing this group is really going to have influence over, right?
Well, no, what they're gonna they're basically gonna have rule influence over bannings,
right?
But as far as I know, like maybe they'll also get to chime in on whether or not cards being in like Unfinity counts as making them Pauper legal. You know, like
sure
stuff like that.
Is that an issue that you've seen with Pauper players, like disagreements on stuff like that? Or?
No, but I think that. It's like that's why I picked like a new product that was going to be something different from what they'd had before.
Yeah,
new products inclusion.
Okay, well, I don't foresee it really being a problem, but it's interesting that you were saying that they use the rules committee as like their model, and like I'm not sure if it was that causal, but they did call out like right in the article they're like. There's this very clear parallel, and we want to make sure you understand this is different from the Commander Rules Committee. It's like, well, yeah, you did do basically the exact same thing, so...
Well, it does. It is different, because that's the problem with the Commander Rules Committee, is they negotiated a contract with Wizards whenever Wizards wanted to officialize their format that they had made up, and they're like, hey... We want to have the final say on legality in this format forever, you know?
Right.
And so, like, they get to, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas the Pauper group is something created by Wizards, and Pauper is something that is a, like, a format that even if they, when it got created, it was created by the community, like... Control over what's been legal in it and stuff has always been done by Wizards.
Sure.
Because they're the ones that create the rarities of the cards.
Yeah.
So, like, it's always been Wizards' thing, so they can make the decisions for it. And I think that that's better than this group of players with vested interest getting to make final say.
I also think it's pretty notable here that, like, this they're calling it the Pauper format panel, right? Yeah. Instead of the Pauper rules committee, but this Pauper format panel also is different or distinct in that, like the Commander rules committee, like I guess this may not actually be a different thing than what you said. I suppose maybe a bit more detailed. Is instead of saying that they get to make the decisions about what is and isn't legal. They're going to decide what they think should be banned or unbanned. And then it says in here that Gavin, who is a Wizards employee and a member of the panel, will then take that recommendation to the... what do they call the group of people who actually decide bannings at Wizards? It's a play design team.
Sure.
So he's going to take...
So that's the people he said in the article.
Yeah, he's going to take those recommendations to the play design team... who will make the actual final decision. He did say he expects them to just do exactly what the Pauper format panel says, but it is specifying, like, WotC is retaining the actual final say.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just, like, they're making a new division in the, you know, the Magic team of people that are going to be this Pauper format panel, and I think that it's just, it's distinct from being part of the Wizards play design team because, you know, the people on it don't have to quit playing tournament Magic.
Yeah, also...
And they're gonna still be, like, kind of Wizards outsiders, you know?
Yeah, also, like, this may be kind of a cynical way to look at it, but these people are doing work for Wizards for free, basically. Yeah. I don't know if they may get some kind of compensation. I have no idea. It doesn't say anything about it in this article, but they might. But if, the play design team were going to take a more hands-on approach to Pauper, they would either have to just add to their workload, just be like, hey, you guys need to play a hell of a lot more Pauper, pay more attention to the Pauper community, and make Pauper decisions better, right? Or they would have to hire on more play design people to specifically undertake that task.
Mm-hmm.
And this is basically them saying, well, let's do that, except not pay them.
Yeah.
Because they just picked out people who are going to play a lot of Pauper and think a lot about Pauper and make these decisions. But they don't have to pay these community members who joined the Pauper format panel.
That's fair. And so it's just like, if they want to volunteer their time.
Sure. I mean, these people all seemed to be very excited about participating. And I was, like, really impressed with WotC's choices in people. Like, I'm not familiar with most of these people. I don't know whether they're good individuals to choose or not. But WotC really did seem to make a point of selecting members of the panel from all over the world and different backgrounds, like ethnicity and gender and stuff like that, you know?
Experience with Magic.
Yep, and experience. So, Domin, do you want to help me introduce these people? I don't know a lot about them, but I can certainly list some of them.
Sure. I'll scroll to that part of the article and read it out to the listeners.
That's all I'm going to do. I'll start off with the first one.
Okay.
And any of our listeners, especially if any of these people happen to be our listeners, I want you to know that I am bad with names in foreign languages. So, are names actually in a language? They're just names. Whatever. Little. My point is, please excuse me, I'm going to butcher some of the names. But we got Mirko Ciavada, who is a player from Italy, who plays a lot of Pauper on Magic Online. His username is Heisen01, and let's see, this says that he won the Italian Pauper-geddon Tournament Series twice, IRL Paper Magic, and he does streaming and YouTube videos where he uploads new Pauper content every few days. You can find him at Heisen, H-E-I-S-E-N-01 on Twitter. So that's cool.
Yeah, then there's Emma Partlow from the UK, writer for TCG Player, part of the Bad Manners podcast, or Bad Manners cast? BMcast?
It's BMcast. Sure. Do you know that it's meant to be Bad Manners, or is that your joke?
I would assume so.
Okay, I have no idea. Like, I realize that's pretty common, I just wasn't sure if that...
I don't listen, but that's what it looks like. But I'm just goofing. But yeah, the BM cast.
It's Budget Magic.
Oh, Budget Magic cast. Okay, that's poorly chosen name, I think, considering that they're part of the gaming community.
I bet it's meant to be a funny pun, but...
Oh. And you can find her on Twitter at Mzine, with three M's in there.
And then we got Ryuji Saito from Japan. He is one of the three partners behind the Japanese Pauper website, paupermtg.com. I believe, if I remember correctly from the video, is one of the newest players to join the Pauper format panel, and is going to bring something of a perspective from newer Magic players who have joined the format. I believe he is the only member of the panel who does not produce content in English, but you know, if you're a Magic player, you can follow videos in almost any language. So you check out his stuff at Saito_03 on Twitter, and you should be able to find his stuff by checking out that or paupermtg.com.
Yeah, and they got Paige Smith from the USA. Apparently just plays a lot of Pauper and is currently a writer for Cool Stuff Inc. You can find her on Twitter at the Maverick Gal.
Yeah, I think apparently she's known for playing a lot of elves.
Sure.
Our other U.S. member of the Pauper format panel, I guess other than Gavin, is Alex Ullman. He's another just longtime Pauper Magic player. I think this is the, again, just based on my memory of the video, I think Alex here was the most long-term Magic player. But he has a blog where he has in-depth Pauper analysis. And he was just a fairly well-known internet presence, and you can find him at Nerd to the Core on Twitter.
And there's, I guess, Alexander Weber. He's got a YouTube channel, and he's out of Brazil. He does some tournament organizing, and you can find him at WeberMTG. I guess on Twitter and probably on YouTube. It doesn't say what his YouTube name is, it just links it. I'm going to click the link and see if it's still the same. It's Alexander Weber, MTG, on YouTube. So
cool. Now, unfortunately, I am not deep enough into the Pauper community to really be familiar with any of these people. But my impression is that they're all people who have been contributing to the Pauper community, and if we have any real Pauper fans listening to our show, they might already be familiar with some or all of these people. I apologize for our kind of...
And there's Gavin Verhey.
Oh, yeah. Who's that, Donovan?
A staffer at Wizards of the Coast that does a lot of their publicity. Writes a lot of articles, makes a lot of the public video statements and stuff. And he's on lots of formats. A lot of them, he's Gavin Verhey.
Sure. I feel like I used to know what his like job title was at WotC, but I can't recall now. He is definitely one of the like faces of Magic, though. He is a very public facing figure. He's on Twitter a lot. He has the YouTube channel Good Morning Magic, which regularly uploads short Magic content there. And I think he's pretty well liked.
He's a senior Magic designer.
Okay. Well, Donovan got there.
That's what his job title says on Twitter.
Cool. Don, do you think there was anything else that we needed to make sure to mention about the actual news part of this?
They said that they're not, like, if they don't make any massive changes before the Neon Dynasty spoiler season starts, they're not going to do anything till after it's over.
Okay.
So just as a heads up, either they're going to do something real quick or it's going to be a bit.
Sure. All right, kind of... let the Pauper community focus on checking out those awesome new common cards.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Donovan, real quick, can you tell me, like, what your actual experience level with Pauper is? Like, how familiar you are with it? How you, like, first encountered it? If you've played it, that sort of stuff?
I guess I'm not super familiar with it. I have played, you know, couple hundred games of Pauper, but
sure,
like that's over the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly with people not taking it super seriously.
Yeah.
First introduced to it by just some friends who were looking to play a cheaper version of Magic, wanting to build Pauper decks. And then a few years later, when I was working on starting up at Boardwalk, there were some people that came in and wanted to play Pauper up there more regularly, so we started having a Pauper meetup.
Mm-hmm.
And I started playing with those people some.
Sure.
Do
you have a dedicated Pauper deck?
Yeah, I have a Pauper deck. It's not a serious one. Like, if you took it, like, if you submitted the list to a tournament, people would probably laugh at you, but
what?
I just was noticing that, like, this deck I used to play in Eventide Standard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, most of the cards that were core cards of the deck were commons.
Yeah.
And so I just, like, took some cards from that and some cards from original Ravnica and built a deck. And then made some small changes over the years with new commons that came out and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I play a deck built around Night Sky Mimic and... what's it? Edge of Divinity? So it's just, like, all of the cards in the deck are black and white. And Night Sky Mimic says when you cast a spell that's black and white, it becomes a 4/4 flyer. And yeah. Edge of Divinity is a 1-mana aura that gives a black creature +2/+1 and gives a white creature +1/+2. And so if the card's black and white, it's a 1-mana +3/+3 aura.
Nice.
Yeah. And so, like, the deck's not great, it's but like it hits hard and fast. Like, I've attacked people for 7 with lifelink on turn 2.
Nice.
That's
good.
And so, like, the deck's okay, but it's good enough that people laugh at you, but then you play with them and they're like, oh shit, I gotta be careful.
Yeah.
But like, anytime I play against somebody with like a really serious Pauper deck, they usually come out on top.
Well,
like, I've played against Tron and Burn and...
Whoa, is Tron just available in Pauper?
Yeah, and Tron lands were originally printed at Common.
Oh, wow. So you got all the Tron lands, and then
mm-hmm.
What do you do with them?
Expedition play, like, map.
Just the
you play like
the common Eldrazi from Zendikar.
There's a lot of Tron variants in Pauper.
Yeah.
There's the, like, I think Ghostly Flicker's been banned in recent years, but there was the Ghostly Flicker combo deck where you use Mnemonic Wall and Ghostly Flicker.
Hmm.
There's like versions that play the common Eldrazi from Rise of the Eldrazi. There's like artifact combo Tron decks.
Okay.
There's a bunch of variety to the Tron decks in Pauper.
Sure. Well, I'm not very familiar with Pauper. Like, I've been kind of aware of it forever, basically. Like, ever since we started playing Magic, I wasn't aware of it as an official format, because when we started playing, we didn't know that there were, like, formats and tournaments and stuff. We were just, like, playing a game with these cards, you know? But the kind of, like, the beauty and simplicity of Pauper is that I think it'd be really difficult to track down, like, where it came from, because it is the sort of idea that, like, just any Magic player can have all on their own. So you have, like, parallel Genesis all over the place, yeah. You know? Because somebody just has to say, like, hey, here's a budget way to play Magic. How about we just play with the commons, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I've been kind of aware that people were building decks that way and stuff, like, forever, except more commonly, what I would see is, like, people wanted to build, like, no rares, you know? Like, decks with no rares. So it'd be commons and uncommons only is what I've actually done more than actually play Pauper. Do you know if that is, like, if there's a name for that?
They've been calling it something on Arena when they do that on Arena events.
Yeah.
What do they call it? I don't remember.
That's okay. I was just saying, like, I have, like, never actually...
Starts with an A, I think?
...built an official Pauper deck or played Pauper, specifically.
Artisan. That's what they've been calling it on Arena.
Artisan? Oh, yeah. I've built Artisan decks on Arena.
Mm-hmm.
But I've enjoyed playing some that way, but I've never really thought seriously about it, because it's just like... I don't know why. It's just not something I've really considered very deeply. And then when they were doing this announcement for Pauper just this week, as I'm sure will happen for a lot of players, like I didn't learn about Pauper for the first time, but actually thought about it some for the first time, you know? And I was like, oh, you know what, I actually, the thing I like about Commander, which I don't play a lot of that either, but the thing I like about it is it's interesting to come up with deck ideas for it, because the deck construction rules are different, and Pauper isn't nearly as different, but it's different enough and in the right ways to make very interesting deck construction, I think. I think that I will be interested in looking into designing some Pauper decks, because it's just a different environment, you know, like the cards that are viable are just wildly
different. Yeah, Needle Drop is a card that sees play in Pauper that is funny, because it's like didn't see play when it was in Standard, you know? It's like,
yeah, like,
and for those that don't know the card, it's a red to cast, it's an instant, deals one damage to something that's been dealt damage already this turn. Mm-hmm. And then draws you a card.
Was Lightning Bolt ever common?
Yeah, originally that was always okay. A common,
so Lightning Bolt's legal in Pauper. Jeez.
Yeah, I think so.
That's, and so, like, that just is exemplative of the fact that it's commons only doesn't mean that it's, like, only underpowered cards. Like,
there's, yeah, some, I mean, powerful, like,
stuff, like Tron Lands and that Lightning Bolts.
That got banned whenever Wizards of the Coast admitted that people play Pauper and paper was Sinkhole.
Yeah.
Because that was originally a common.
Yeah.
And that card is completely busted.
I kind of want to take a look at what the actual Pauper ban list is. Let's see, I've got...
Yeah, it's like the Ghostly Flicker card might not be banned, I just know something out of that deck got banned. I mentioned it being banned earlier, so if there's any listeners, I just know something out of that deck got banned. I know that one of them was the Arkham's Astrolabe, and I don't know if that was the only one.
Let me see, Kamal Pauper. So yeah, Arkham's Astrolabe, Chatterstorm, Cloud of Fairies, Cloud Post, Cranial Plating, Days, Empty the Warrens, Expedition Map, huh?
I think that's a relatively recent one.
And Fall from Favor, Frantic Search, Gitaxian Probe, Grape Shot, Gush, Invigorate, Mystic Sanctuary, Peregrine Drake, Sojourner's Companion, Temporal Fissure, Treasure Cruise, High Tide, Hymn to Turok, and Sinkhole. Not that our listeners especially wanted me to just list all of the cards on the Pauper ban list, but High Tide, that would have been a cool one to do. I mean... That's why it's banned. It's because it's just been so busted, I guess. But like I it hadn't even occurred to me, but seeing it on the ban list, I'm like, oh, I wish that wasn't banned. I would like to build that deck.
How I feel about Hymn to Turok.
Yeah. There are a ton of discard spells that you do have access to that are probably much better in Pauper. Else, well, I guess discard doesn't actually change its power level a whole lot for Pauper, does it?
Discard spells get weaker because your opponent's cards are weak.
Right. But I don't know that I've ever actually played like an official like game of Pauper. I've never had like a Pauper deck that like I, you know, had checked to make sure that they were all specifically commons and adhered to the ban list and stuff, you know. So I can't say that I've ever actually played Pauper, but I have definitely played a lot of Magic in that same like phase space of this kind of Magic. You know, a lot of kitchen table Magic that was just that didn't have rares and stuff like that, and I've had fun playing that kind of Magic, and I will probably be kind of interested in coming up with some Pauper deck ideas and kicking those around in my head as I think more about it. Darwin, I really guess I thought that there would be more here. Like, I know that I did say that this was going to be a fairly light episode, but I think we pretty much covered everything that I wrote down here, right?
Don't think we've really covered, like, some of the... We could go over maybe some of what, like, some of the popular archetypes in Pauper are.
Yeah, I mean, if you have that information, lay it on me. Thing is, I'm just...
Sure, MPG Goldfish does.
You know what? That's a good one.
I tried to go there, but Kaspersky says that that's not a trustworthy website.
I got there. Ooh, wow. It looks like Affinity is far and away the most popular deck in Pauper.
That makes sense.
It's about 18% of the metagame, according to Goldfish.
The only format where it's actually good.
Oh, I think there are some modern players who would take offense to that.
Nope, there's some modern players that would sadly agree. But since the banning of Mox Opal, Affinity never really came back. Modern Horizons 2... People tried it, but it quickly died away again.
Ooh, and this example list of the Affinity Pauper deck is running Blood Fountain and Wedding Invitation.
And Atog? Oh, wait, Wedding Invitation?
Yeah, they're running
Atog. The card I was thinking of. That's interesting. I like Atog.
Yeah. Obviously, Disciple of the Vault. And the Disciple of the Vault and the Atog together. Gonna hurt.
Yeah.
And then there's one copy of Fling in the deck.
Yeah, Fling your Atog.
Yep, Fling Atog.
I think the Boros Monarch deck is what I see the most of in paper.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a the next significant deck, right?
Yeah.
What is that deck? I'm not...
There's just...
Not seeing anything in it that's Monarch.
It's Palace Sentinels is what gives it the Monarch name.
Become
the but Monarch. It's a deck that... It's like a control deck, I guess, that is... built around keeping the Monarch effect to draw extra cards every turn.
Oh, what does being the Monarch do?
It's at the beginning of your end step, you draw a card, and then if a player deals combat damage to you, they become the Monarch.
Oh, okay. What is that from?
Conspiracy.
I don't remember that. I played Conspiracy. Recall that. All right.
Maybe it was from Conspiracy 2?
Perhaps.
Or... I thought it was from original Conspiracy.
Also, like, when I say I played Conspiracy, I played a couple times. You know, like, it's not a format that I could afford to just churn games of.
Well, it looks like maybe it was on the second set, Conspiracy Take the Crown.
Oh, that would make sense. Monarch, Take the Crown.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like Is It Skred is also a popular Pauper deck. Skred is
Please a... Please tell me they've got some kind of stuffy doll in here.
In Skred?
Yeah.
Not seeing
Doesn't
it.
Look like it.
But Lame. Skred, the namesake of the deck, is a common, of course, from Cold Snap?
Yep.
Is that Cold Snap?
Yeah,
and from Cold Snap. It's a single red, and it says it deals damage to target creature equal to the number of snow permanents you can... So we got snow-covered lands.
Mm-hmm.
And Skred.
Yeah.
That seems like a means of having decent removal in your deck. What else is this deck doing, though?
Looks like this deck, at least the example, is a Ninja Fairies deck.
Ninja Fairies, that sounds pretty sweet, gotta admit.
Which, by that I mean it plays Spellstutter Sprite and Ninja of the Deep Hours.
Yeah.
Spellstutter Sprite counters a spell if that spell is mana cost less than or equal to the number of fairies you control. Mm-hmm.
And then Ninja of the Deep Hours lets you pick your Spellsetter sprites back up and draw extra cards and stuff.
Yeah.
It also is playing Crimson Fleet Commodore to become the Monarch. I don't know if it's just playing that to mess with the Monarch deck, or if it's...
I was about to say, like, is being the Monarchs that much more powerful in Pauper than it is in other formats?
I think it is, because there's... Since you don't really have access to, like, Planeswalkers to accrue card advantage over turns,
yeah,
it's, like, the best way to accrue card advantage over multiple turns.
Okay.
There's also Mono Red Burn,
sure.
Which I don't know why this deck doesn't have Scred in the sideboard and just play Snow-Covered Mountains, but...
Because the person who built this example version of it isn't as clever as you are.
Or they just didn't feel they needed it, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't see any... like big removal spells in their sideboard either way.
Oh man.
But it's playing burn spells and Thermal Alchemist.
This looks like a fun deck. Like, it is not a complicated deck, but like, we've got Lightning Bolt and Skewer the Critics.
Chain Lightning.
Yeah.
Rift Bolt.
Rift, yep.
All the different flavors of Lightning Bolt they've come up with at Common.
Yep, and then the Thermo Alchemist. For anyone who isn't familiar, is an O3 that taps to deal 1 damage to each opponent, but whenever you cast an instant or sorcery, you can untap the Thermo Alchemist.
It's like 2 mana, right?
Yeah. So
comes down pretty early, blocks 2/2s real good.
Yeah. And just, like, you just look at your hand and be like, okay, so if I play all of this, add up all of that, plus 1 damage for each of these, does that kill my opponent?
Yes.
It's also got Voldaren Epicure, which... I just like to mention when there's, like, brand new cards in Eternal formats, it's interesting. I think that's another strength of Pauper, is it actually does include cards from, like, all over the time frame of Magic, just because, like, the power level of commons has shifted up a little over time, but since they're commons, there is actually a fairly static, a more static power level of cards, so, like, you just, there's, what is best is kind of all over the place, you know?
Mm-hmm. Tron? Get some Tron in here. Looks like this is a Mnemonic Wall, Mull Drifter, Ghostly Flicker deck.
But I realized, like, just before you tell me more about Tron, in between the Mono Red Burn and Tron is another Affinity deck. And so, like, Affinity isn't just, like, 18% of the metagame, it's, like, 25% of the metagame.
Yeah, Doc Affinity.
Anyway, sorry, Tron.
And this version is a dollar cheaper than the other.
that's a significant amount in Pauper.
Yeah, like 2% cheaper.
I mean, that's like 5 cards.
but yeah, the Tron deck's playing Mnemonic Wall, Mull Drifter, Dinrova Horror as its creatures, and just flickering them with Ghostly Flicker. Is it playing an Ephemerate? Yeah.
So, it's interesting. This is...
It's got some counter spells that it can pick up.
This is taking advantage of Tron lands just to play 5 drops that include a color.
Yep.
Like, this is like the most fair way to play Tron I've like ever seen.
And just keep in mind, they do play Prophetic Prism and Bonder's Ornament, so they don't need lands that tap for colors.
Right. but like, they're just using Tron to ramp up to 5.
Yeah. And 6.
Yeah, they've got a 1 of
6 drop. They've got 1 6 drop in their deck.
Yeah, and not one of their playsets. Like, it's a 1 of 6 drop. But, man. Pauper's very interesting.
We also have a card that flashes back for 6.
Yeah.
In Mystical Teachings.
So, the next deck is...
Then the next deck is probably very similar, right?
Azorius combo, and I'm looking at it. I'm trying to figure out the combo for myself. We've got Ephemerate.
And Ghostly Flicker.
Ghostly Flicker. Archaeomancer. Alright, Don. Tell me what this deck is doing. It looks like this deck is just going to draw the entire deck. But like,
uses Sage's Rodenizen to mill your opponent out. Says when blue creature enters the battlefield under your control, target player puts top 2 cards of his or library into his or her graveyard.
Sure.
And then you just use Sunscape Familiar to reduce the cost of your Ghostly Flickers.
Yeah.
And you're gonna just Ghostly Flicker your Archaeomancer and maybe another Archaeomancer or Seagate Oracle to draw cards or Moldrifter or something like that to find you some more cards and stuff.
Right.
And you're going to Ghostly Flicker those guys over and over.
Sure.
To mill your opponent for, what is it? Two? For two every time you mill them.
Okay.
Snap can untap some of their lands to keep going. Yeah, it looks like they use, if they can get two Archaeomancers into play, they're just going to play Ghostly Flicker and Snap until your opponent mills out.
And we got a mono blue fairies deck, which is doing the Ninja of the Deep Hours spell stutter sprite thing. It's also got Delver of Secrets in here, which is pretty sweet. I kind of want to build like a blue red Delver Popper.
That's funny.
What's funny?
This example deck on here has 18 snow covered islands and zero cards that reference snow.
And
just one of those examples that Wizards of the Coast needs to print cards that hate out snow decks, because there's no reason to not play snow.
They don't even have anything in the sideboard?
No, nothing.
Well, you know, like, all of the ritual cards are commons and legal and, like, not banned in Pauper.
Correct. Because all of the storm cards are.
Oh, that's true.
They even banned Temporal Fissure. Chatterstorm isn't banned yet, but I expect that to happen any day.
It is. It was on the list of banned cards.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I didn't see that. Okay.
I'll check real quick, but I think I remember listening. I just read off the entire list. Yeah, it is.
Okay, cool. So yeah. But yeah, like all any card that has Storm printed on it is banned in Pauper, except for, I think, Sprouting Vines. And so people have built Storm decks with Sprouting Vines.
Yeah, so Sprouting Vines is a green and two for an instant. It says, search your library for a basic land card, reveal that card and put it into your hand, then shuffle your library. And it has Storm.
Yep.
Okay, so...
Then you cast Windfall. I'm not sure it's Windfall exactly, but no, some Windfall effect.
Yeah, that seems right. Windfall is a blue and two for a sorcery. Each player discards their hand, then draws cards equal to the greatest number of cards a player discarded this way. So you would you would both end up with, like, 20 cards in hand.
Yeah. I think that you play a way to put your shuffle your graveyard back into your library, and you just deck your opponent.
Sure. Okay, I can see how that would work. That's a silly deck.
It's not very good. Hence it not being on this list of decks on MTG Goldfish.
Yeah.
But it is a thing that people do.
Sure, sure. There's a few more decks on here.
Yeah, some noticeably missing things on here that I think are probably skewed because of them including online data versus paper is, yeah, like, Bogles is super low on here, but it's here.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Mono Black Control is just not on here, and that's one of the most popular Pauper decks.
Oh, yeah?
Interesting. Yeah.
I'm surprised there's not any Pestilence decks.
There's Orzhov Pestilence on this list. Yeah. Which maybe all of the Mono Black Control decks just got with this.
Oh, View More. I'm stupid. There it is.
No, because I don't see any. But yeah, like Mono Black Control using Thorn of the Black Rose to make you the Monarch, and then it has Death Touch, and it's like, it's a 1/3, so like it defends the Monarchy kind of okay. And then plays Pestilence and like some high toughness creatures to keep Pestilence around, and then Kumbaj Witches, and what's the name of the card? The one that used to do like O-Ring, but now phases a creature out. The black one. From Arabian Nights.
It's in this deck?
No, it's not, surprisingly. The only enchantment in this deck is Pestilence. It's in the Mono Black Control deck that I was trying to describe.
So okay. Sorry. Goldfish. I'm sorry. I thought you were describing this deck.
No, I was describing Mono Black Control since...
Sorry.
Goldfish decided not to.
Right. I don't know. I'm not familiar with the card. I don't.
Yes, you are. Oubliette.
Yeah, I'm not familiar.
Oh, you're not familiar with Oubliette?
I mean, I know the name. I was aware that there was a magic card named that, but no, I'm not familiar.
It phases a creature out until Oubliette leaves the battlefield.
Okay.
Originally, what it did was it said exiled, or originally it didn't say exile, but what it did was exile target creature. Note the number of counters that were on it and all permanents attached to it, exile those, and when it returns to the battlefield, return it to the battlefield with the attached permanents and all the noted number of counters.
Whew, that's annoying.
Yeah, and so whenever they're reprinting it in, like, Double Masters or something a couple of years ago, they're like, you know what? Like, kind of gets a creature off the battlefield but doesn't remove counters from it? Phasing. What if we phase this creature out?
But don't things that are phased out automatically phase in at the beginning of your...
No, no. If something... Yes, if you... They automatically do, but if something says phase it out until a point, it will stay phased out until then. And okay. It says phase this out as long as Oubliette remains on
just
the battlefield.
If anyone is interested, the original text for Oubliette is select a creature in play when Oubliette is cast. That creature is considered out of play as long as Oubliette is in play. Hence, the creature cannot be the target of spells and cannot receive damage, use special powers, attack, or defend. All counters and enchantments on the creature remain, but are also out of play. If Oubliette is removed, creature returns to play tapped.
Yep, and they decided that was a lot.
Yeah, the Master's Edition version of it says, when Oubliette comes into play, remove target creature and all auras attached to it from the game. Note the number and kind of counters that were on that creature. When Oubliette leaves play, return the removed card to play under its owner's control tapped with the noted number and kind of counters on it. If you do, return the removed aura cards to play under their owner's control attached to that permanent. Wow. So a difficult card to make work until there's like, actually, you know what? Just phase it.
Yeah. Yep.
And now it's pretty simple.
Yep. Which is one of those things, like, this is a functional change to the card for the reprint.
Yeah.
That I am wholly on board with.
Sure.
Because it's just so much simpler. This right. is just better, you know?
And, like, while it is a functional change to the card in a technical sense, it's not functionally different.
Yeah, like, in general, it's going to be the same.
Sure.
It's just functioning differently.
Right. What else did you want to call out as either being here or not being here, Donovan?
Probably just, like, teaching decks. Like, they're basically just blue-black control is a popular archetype in Pauper.
Popular in Pauper?
Yeah, it's... I think that the 100-card teaching decks that were really silly have gone the way of the Dodo since Devious Cover-Up came out. But, they were kind of funny, because do you know what their win condition was?
No.
Your deck has 60 cards in it, and theirs has 100.
How did they just survive?
They're just a hard control deck. They're just
a hard control deck that's like, just designed to play for 60 turns?
Basically. They did have Evankar's Justice and Pristine Talisman, but that was it. Evankar's Justice is a buyback spell that deals 2 damage to each creature and each player.
Man.
And Pristine Talisman is a mana rock that taps to give you a colorless mana and gain you a life. And so, like, it's like, okay, like, you can Evankar's Justice people to death. And so, like, originally the deck was, like, 61-card teachings. And then they're like, okay, well, that's not good enough because, like, I play Ponder and shit. And, like, sometimes I draw more cards than my opponent.
Yeah.
And so, like, oh, let's go, like, 80 cards. We'll do, like, 80-card teachings. And that was a popular deck. But then people were trying to, like, out-metagame each other. And they're like, 90-card teachings. I'll beat the 80-card decks. And then people went up to 100. And then after 100, the decks just started getting worse. But, like, at 100, they were still able to keep up with other Pauper decks by just having more other things that are shitty removal spells and counter spells and stuff.
Sure. Because, like, there's a dozen different copies of Cancel. Like,
yeah.
And Cancel is probably good enough. So, like, you can have, you could probably have, like, 50 Cancels in your deck.
Yeah, and so, like, the deck was just, like, it's like, look, I have 100 cards in my deck, and you don't.
That's ridiculous.
And then he used mystical teachings to, like, find specific answers when it needed them sometimes.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, I had 4 of the card, plus I have mystical teachings, so, like, that's 8 copies of specific cards I need.
Sure.
And then the deck was okay, you know? Like, it wasn't probably the best Pauper deck, but it was pretty good.
Okay.
But then Devious Cover came out at Common, which was a 4-mana counter spell that exiled the spell it counters and shuffles 4 cards from your graveyard into your deck. And they're like, oh, so we just play 60 cards and play this to never run out of cards in my deck.
Yeah.
And the deck's, that's just better. So I think Teachings decks still exist, but no longer are they 100 cards.
Not ridiculous decks.
But that was a funny archetype. It was just like, look, I have 100 cards. You have 60. if I just kill every creature you play.
Another one that I want to point out is the Infect deck, because Infect is awesome and fun.
Oh yeah, Infect.
And everyone loves Infect. There's not.
I don't see it on their list here.
There's not anything.
Do I need to view more as well, like Duncan
yes,
did?
Yes, you need to view more.
Yep.
There's not anything about this deck that like really stands out as like, oh wow, that this works like this special way. Like it's just it's common Infect cards. You know, like Glistener Elf. There's Rancor, Blight Mamba, Rotwolf. These are just common cards with Infect. Rancor isn't, but you know. Then we got Giant Growth, Mutagenic Growth, Apostle's Blessing. So wait, so Briar Shield is here. I'm sure I've seen this card before, but I wasn't familiar with it. It's a single green enchantment. It says enchanted creature gets +1/+1, but it has Sacrifice Briar Shield. Enchanted creature gets +3/+3 until end of turn. That's some cool tech for this deck, I guess. Anything else that you want to bring up, Donovan?
No.
Okay.
Well, I think that about covers it.
Any yeah, any like stories or anything you remember, like interesting people or decks or games that you played when you were playing Pauper or anything like that that you could lay on?
Oh, I just think that the deck I play, the black white deck, mm-hmm. since it's a black white, like a lot of the creatures are ghosts and witches and stuff. And I'm built around like playing these auras on my deck.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people call the deck Boogles.
Boogles. Alright. That's nice. I like that. We didn't really talk about Boggles. I think we're basically with the assumption that everyone is familiar with Boggles, but it's just like hexproof creatures and auras.
Yeah.
And that's a popular Pauper deck. That's one of the
You know what is really annoying?
What?
That WotC got rid of the text on Reach so that Silhanna Ledgewalker can't be blocked by creatures with Reach. Like, I find that super annoying. Every time I see the card Silhanna Ledgewalker, or, you know, Signal Pest, which I guess probably sees more play.
I'm sure Signal Pest sees more play than the Ledgewalker.
But I'm just super annoyed that Reach creatures can't block those anymore.
Hold on. Reach creatures can't block them?
Correct. So they can only be blocked by creatures with flying.
Or Reach.
Nope. Oh, Signal Pest might say or Reach, I guess.
It does say
does it? Reach.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, Silhanna Ledgewalker does not.
Oh.
My mistake. I thought Signal Pest was the same.
I see. And because they decided that Reach doesn't mean you can block as though you had flying, it means you can block creatures with flying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, why, though?
Why? Does it bother me?
Why did they need to make that change?
They decided that it was confusing to have it worded on Reach that
oh.
can block creatures as though they had flying, and they changed it so that flying says that can only be blocked by creatures with flying or Reach.
Right, that's what I was trying to remember, is they didn't change the way Reach works, they basically made Reach not do anything.
Correct, Reach no longer does anything.
Like Reach does not provide an ability.
It is a characteristic of that creature that it has Reach.
Yes, that is real stupid.
No longer has any effect on the game.
That's just dumb.
I think that's silly, but it's what they decided to do, and it means that Silhanna Ledgewalker cannot be blocked by
especially creatures. Because it would make sense if your reasoning was, well, Reach doesn't provide them a special ability, it just lets you know this creature is real tall, you know?
Yeah.
But like, then it doesn't function as if that creature is real tall, it functions as if that creature has some, like, magical affinity with flying things.
Yeah, because, like, flying creatures can just fly over tall things.
Right.
You know? Like, that's the whole reason why flying works.
Right. And, like...
They're like, hey, what if there was a guy that was gonna block them, but they, like, flew over?
And, like, the flavor of Silhanna Ledgewalker is that they're, like, moving around on or near the rooftops. And so, like,
yeah.
A really tall thing ought to be able to stop that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think if you want to make an argument for this flavor-wise, you go, Silhanna Ledgewalker is specifically walking on ledges.
Uh-huh.
Which means that something standing on the ground that's not above it, that would have to look up to see it, even if they have really long arms or a frog tongue or whatever, like...
What if
they wouldn't be able to see that there's a person walking on that ledge?
What if they're just bonkers tall, though?
Yeah, well, like, that's not covered. this taller buildings.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that I find this annoying for basically that reason. As I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Why can't this creature be blocked by tall creatures?
Yeah. I'm less concerned, I think, with the Silhana Ledgewalker example specifically, because, like, it's one card that, like, has a weird rules interaction because of a change they made. But just, like, kind of on principle, the fact that they changed the rules of Reach so that it no longer does anything. It's just
dumb. Yeah, I think that's weird.
Like,
no longer has an effect.
We have this ability that's on a lot of creatures, and we're trying to word it in a way that makes more sense to people. How about we make it not do anything at all? It's like, well, that's pretty easy to understand.
Yep.
I mean, until a new player asks you, like, hey, I got this creature with Reach in my pack. What does Reach do?
Nothing. It doesn't do anything.
And you gotta explain to that player, like, nothing at all. Like,
no, that's not what you tell them.
Yes, you do, because that's the truth.
You tell them it means it can block creatures with flying. But it doesn't fly itself.
No, see, my method of teaching players to play is to provide them all of the information as accurately as possible from the very beginning. So before we get out any cards or anything, we start talking about what the stack is and the order of operations.
Uh-huh.
And, like, we need...
Bet no one you've ever taught to play Magic has continued playing Magic.
Funny thing about that is actually, like, I don't teach Magic that way, by the way. For any listeners who aren't getting the bit, this is not how I teach Magic. But I have taught a lot of people to play, and they generally go on to be a lot better at Magic than I am.
I mean, not a high bar.
True. Very true. We're going to cover that next week.
Ooh, is next week's topic why Duncan's bad at Magic?
Yeah, and why Donovan's bad at Magic.
Ow, that
Not that you are. I actually am bad at Magic, but I think what we're going to do next week is we're going to do a On the Shoulders of Giants episode, which is it's sort of our, like, podcast series within the podcast where we talk about all of the old stuff that I think is interesting because I'm ancient. But what we do is we highlight some of the very best...
Mostly strategy articles, but sometimes other stuff.
Yeah, we just...
That's about how to play Magic.
Yeah, Magic content that has been made over the years that at my discretion, I found to be very valuable for improving or learning about Magic, or sometimes to the history of Magic. And next week, I think, one of the reasons why I want to bring it up this week, Dom, is I want to let you know in advance, I'll shoot you a link for this, but unless something else comes up, like, I want to... It's always possible that we will have... like some huge news thing come up in the next week, you know, and we'll have to pivot to that. But unless something else comes up...
Like they ban Urza's Tower in Modern.
Sure.
That's always the funny joke, is if they ban those in Modern, is they just ban one.
Right. We're going to be doing an article called Creating a Fearless Magical Inventory by Sam Stoddard. And... I will send this to you so you can take a look at it in advance on, because what this actually is about, spoilers for next week, is Stoddard basically made a list of all of the things that he does wrong when playing Magic. Like, he just, like, sat down, like, with trying to avoid, like, being embarrassed or worried about admitting to it. He just, like, tried to very honestly list all of the habits he has that he shouldn't do, or things that he should do differently when playing Magic to win more, you know? It's like, hey, if I didn't care at all about how I present myself, or how I feel about myself, or any of that, like, what would I actually do if I just wanted to be better, you know, and that I don't do now, or could do differently, or whatever, right? And what I would like, if you think that you can manage this, Donovan, you don't... Obviously, you don't have to have a comprehensive list, but if you wouldn't mind considering this sometime in the next week and being able to bring your own fearless magical inventory with you next week, we'll see what we can come up with.
I'll try.
Fair warning. Mine is probably not going to actually be all that good, but that's just because most of my issues, I think, are because I'm unaware of them, and I would have to play a lot of Magic while thinking about this to identify a lot of them. They're not stuff that, like I am totally unaware of. Like, I might notice it in the moment, but it's going to be difficult for me, like, just sitting at work thinking about this and trying to write things down to come up with all of the things, you know?
Yeah.
But I thought we might talk about that article and see if it's something that we can get anything out of. As long as you're not embarrassed to do it, Donovan.
No. I'll admit how amazing I am at Magic, don't worry.
To be frank, I'll probably start by just going through his list and picking out the, 20 of those things that I also do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because I do a lot of that. We probably have enough to wrap up our Pauper episode. Don, was there anything else that you wanted to add?
No.
Cool. I mentioned earlier that our combat step was probably our feedback section, but we don't actually have any this week. So, you know, if you want to pick a fight with us, you need to reach out to us at planeswalkerspod@gmail.com. And Donovan, if anyone is looking to get into a verbal punch-up just specifically with you, where can they find you?
You can find me at Boardwalk in North Dallas selling Magic cards, or you can find me on Twitter at @day_Donovan, or occasionally on Twitch at @dday_99.
Cool. And if you want to look me up, you can catch me at Jimithin on Twitter. And like I said, planeswalkerspod@gmail.com for the podcast. You can also check out our Patreon at patreon.com/planeswalkers to support the show. And if you want to get a cool t-shirt with any of the artwork that I've done for the show on it, you can find that at tpublic.com/user/Jimithin. Until next time, Donovan.
Later days.
Across Innistrad, the great and the good, the meek and the terrible, all of us rely on bespoke craftsmanship. You wouldn't be caught dead in a Swindler big box store. Well, maybe you would. Our customers might. Well, except our customers wouldn't go there. What I'm trying to say is, you value quality over quantity. From haberdashers to tanners, Innistrad relies on small businesses and dependable craftsmanship. Unfortunately, even on Innistrad, services tend to have a living customer bias. That's why you need the Corpse Cobbler. Here at the Corpse Cobbler, we provide quality footwear for all. Just bring your feet to the Corpse Cobbler, and we'll create boots or sandals, clogs or heels, whatever you need, and crafted specifically for your foot. You can even leave your feet with us, and we'll have them ready for pickup in no time at all. Vampires, zombies, ghouls, even the living need shoes. I'm serious. Sometimes, living people even buy shoes for real people when they bury them. Visit us in Gavany for a special offer. Just mention this ad. Whether you're putting them in the ground, or they're going to be up and walking around, you need the Corpse Cobbler. You ready to just begin?
Uh-huh.
I can just, start whenever I want?
Yeah.
I'd say the intro and we do it?
I think that's how it works.
But I can just, go whenever I want.
I think so.
It's just up to me.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. The pressure, man. Okay. What's up, everybody? Wait.
All right. Now go.
I knew as soon as you started doing that you were just fucking with me. But at the same time, I can't talk over it. If you do that, I have to stop. I think I have delusional parasitosis.
I don't know what that means, but...
That's a neurological condition that makes you think that you have bugs on or in your skin.
Oh.
Maybe I should shave my legs.